Today, we're roving the streets of San Francisco, taking a look at how people are looking to the past to inform the present and plan for the future.
I'm gonna give you 30 days to get back home. I done called up a gypsy woman on a telephone.
In the 1950s, this sound is called rock and roll.
I'm gonna see that you be back home in 30 days.
It borrowed elements from gospel, rhythm and blues, and country music. Chances are, none of these musical styles brings to mind Jewish performers. But Bay Area rock historian Richie Unterberger would tell you to think again. He'll be backing up that claim in a free San Francisco library program that he's calling Blue Suede Jews, Jews in the Golden Age of Rock and Roll. KLW's Stephen Short spoke with him about the presentation.
Now, when I say Jewish rock and roll, I don't mean this is rock with Jewish lyrics or sung in Hebrew or anything like that. These are rock performers of Jewish heritage who were working in all different kinds of styles. But a lot of people don't realize that some of these very leading names, both as performers and songwriters and producers, are Jewish.
Such as? Give us an example.
Of course, the most famous Jew working in rock music, although he has not always been a self-identified Jew, is Bob Dylan. With Bob Dylan, I have a couple of clips that document his extraordinary journey from folk music to rock music. When I show him playing folk music before he made that transition, we have a clip of him doing The Times They Are A-Changin'.
If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone, or the times they are a-changin'.
But other notable Jews in rock music, Lou Reed. Not someone who conforms to the stereotype of the nice Jewish boy, which is something I also try to convey in my presentation. With Lou Reed, I am going to be playing the song called Rock and Roll.
Now Jenny said when she was just 5 years old, you know there's nothing happened at all.
I mean, what better song about rock music is there than one that's actually called Rock and Roll? And Lou Reed did write one for his band The Velvet Underground, but I have a clip of him performing that as a solo artist. Paul Simon.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Paul Simon, well, Art Garfunkel hasn't always thought he's a nice Jewish boy, but Art Garfunkel was also a nice Jewish boy. Two nice Jewish boys from Queens. And with Simon and Garfunkel, I have them doing their first hit, Sounds of Silence.
And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence.
T-Rex was Jewish. He died in 1977 and was a much bigger star in Britain than he was here. But I have a clip of him doing the one hit he did have here, Get It On, Bang A Gong. His real name was Mark Bolan, but even that was a stage name, as you often find with Jews and other groups trying to assimilate. His birth name was Mark Feld.
Well, now, if in that golden age of rock and roll, as you're referring to it, there was a big Jewish influence, that was then, this is now. Is this continuing?
I think it is continuing. The thing is, there are a lot of Jewish acts where a lot of people don't realize that these people are Jewish. Let me give you one example that even some punk fans of mine just didn't suspect. Mick Jones of The Clash is Jewish. Mick Jones, who aside from maybe Joe Strummer in The Clash, was the most important figure as far as being a singer and songwriter. And his name is Mick Jones, a very British name. How is this guy Jewish? And it's his real name. Well, he has a Welsh father, but a Jewish mother. And by Jewish law, he is a Jew. And another example, in the Ramones, lead singer is Jewish. Well, he changed his name to Ramone. Most people know him as Ramone. But he grew up in the New York area as a Jew, like so many
Jews in the New York area were doing.
How do you account for this large percentage of Jewish people in the music business, both in performing and behind the scenes?
There are a few possible reasons. Behind the scenes, if we're talking in the 1950s and early 1960s especially, when the contributions of Jews were more as songwriters and producers and label owners than performers, New York was by far the media center of the United States. The music publishing industry being centered there and young Jewish kids looking to get ahead in the entertainment business, often being based in New York, that was a natural center of gravity for these songwriters to become involved with the music. I also think that if you were Jewish during this time, we're talking the beginning of rock, the 1950s and 1960s, and you did not want to follow the kind of stereotyped Jewish professional path, doctors or lawyers or perhaps being a rabbi, and you wanted to also have a good living, I think that the entertainment business and the music business was a very attractive option. And one reason also is that there was less anti-Semitism in those professions, I believe, than there were in some more conventional industries and also in politics.